Welcome to each of you who have connected in today at our November Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. The purpose, the intent, the goal, the mission of the support group that I host through Parkinson's Recovery is to provide support for all persons who are journeying down the road to recovery. And as you all know, those of you who've connected in before, this is a place to get the positive information, to get support, to get nurturing for whatever decisions you make that will indeed help you find relief from whatever symptoms you might currently be experiencing. As the custom in our support groups, I will first provide an exciting preview of some new research developments that I've just unveiled, I've just discovered, that I want you to know about. And then I'll connect in with each of you who have called in or connected in and just see what's up. And again, just as a heads up, if I connect in with you and you're really here just to listen, not to talk or chat or ask questions or provide some information about your own journey, then just take a pass and we'll go to the next person. There's no certainly expectation that anybody has to participate whatsoever. So first, some exciting news, I think, actually. I've been following and doing research on developments that are helping people reverse Parkinson's symptoms now for 12 long, exciting years. And each year I uncovered and identified some exciting therapies that clearly have been providing some support and help to many people. This past month, though, I have to say, I've been really excited about some new possibilities, some new ideas that I've been able to uncover. Now, first of all, coming up on Parkinson's Recovery Radio tomorrow is going to be an interview with a functional neurologist, Dr. Kessman. And she's going to talk about functional medicine as contrasted with traditional medicine. And I want everyone to know here who is a participant in the support group that I have literally been devoting day after day, week after week, for at least 4 years, trying to recruit a functional medicine professional to be a guest on the show. And I've been turned down time and time and time again. I've gone everywhere from the father of functional medicine to many other individuals, and we tend to go so far and then suddenly the person backs out. I think functional medicine people are not particularly embraced by traditional medicine profession, and so they are a bit hesitant to get a lot of exposure. But Dr. Kessman is there. She emailed me. She complimented my efforts and said that it had been helping her own patients. And so she's going to be a guest tomorrow. So that air time will be 10 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, and it should prove to be a quite fascinating engagement. Functional medicine professionals identify the causes of the symptoms, and then they address the causes, as opposed to traditional medical doctors whose mission, mandate, training is to suppress symptoms. And that's, of course, what the Parkinson's medicines do. So I think you'll find a fresh perspective from Dr. Kessman. The second exciting news is from a second neurologist, Dr. Kamenak, who has been practicing neurology for about 30 years. He's actually located in Tyler, Texas. Dr. Kamenak's website is just actually her name, D-R, and then her last name, G-O-M-A-N-A-K.com. I had a wonderfully interesting and exciting discussion with Dr. Kamenak. She happened to be in Olympia last weekend, and we set a luncheon time to have a discussion, which actually lasted about 3.5 hours. So she had many, many rich insights about what she had discovered is helping individuals reverse Parkinson's symptoms. Now, as a heads up, her perspective is different from everyone else's, and I found it to be particularly rich and fascinating. Her perspective basically is the factor that will contribute toward healing from the inside out symptoms associated with Parkinson's is to get restful sleep. She says that's the key. I think that's right. She also says, quite interestingly, that she has treated many people with Parkinson's symptoms. And when she asked the individual, how is your sleep? She tells me that all of the people will typically say, oh, I get good sleep. I don't have any problems with sleep. And yet when she explores that further with spouses, there's all of a sudden revealed some issues of falling to sleep during the day and some other sorts of issues. So Dr. Kamenak has a regimen of a way to facilitate much deeper and profound sleep that basically rests at the place of healing from the inside out. And so when you're getting restful sleep over time, and this is not a quick fix, it's not suppressing symptoms, but over time, the body can basically bring all of the imbalances back into balance. Now, just as a heads up, what you're going to learn when she begins to do interviews on the radio show, which will be forthcoming this coming year, she'll probably have 3 or 4 interviews at different topics. She basically is recommending that large doses of vitamin D3, the sunshine vitamin, and vitamin B5, which is pantothenic acid. And she has some fascinating reasons why those two are particularly important for facilitating sleep. And B5 is particularly essential when it comes to supporting the function of the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the one that's crashed when you have Parkinson's symptoms. So it will prove to be, I think, for you when you begin to hear her insights, fascinating. She has a little booklet on her website that basically summarizes what she recommends. You can also download the papers that she has written, which is what I did. So on her website, there are 5 references of papers and articles that she has published on the topics that she has found revolutionary for Parkinson's symptoms. And so I, quite frankly, have printed out those books, and I'll be blogging on various of her perspectives and insights over the coming weeks. So I found her ideas fascinating. Now, I have one more overview comment that she made that I want to pass on to you that, again, I found to be quite fascinating. What she basically says is and argues is that if you look back into the medical archives historically, so going back 400, 500, 600, 1,000 years and retrieving what records are available, there is no evidence or there are no reports of people who have these neurological symptoms that are associated with what we know today, a diagnosis of Parkinson's. We also know that the actual recognition of Parkinson's symptoms was first made in the early 1800s by this doctor who wasn't a neurologist because they didn't have neurologists at the time, but by a doctor by the name of Parkinson's. What is actually not even identified as a name for the symptoms until about 1893. So let's ask the question, well, that's interesting. So if there weren't these neurological challenges before 1800s and all of a sudden they emerged in the 1800s, what was happening in the 1800s? And everybody listening knows the answer. It's, oh, well, gosh, we had the Industrial Revolution. So what's the consequence of that? Well, obviously toxins, and we know that toxins contribute to Parkinson's symptoms. And, of course, the other kind of drama that unfolds is instead of being outside in the sunshine, which is the vitamin D nurturing opportunity, people are inside factories. They are not out in the fields shearing sheep and herding cattle. So people are not getting exposure to sunshine as they need to. Now, another little fact that I just discovered a few days ago from some searches that Deborah did is that the difference between the sun availability in the wintertime versus the summertime is startling. Apparently, only about 10% of the availability of the sun is available here in these dark winter months. For those of us in the Western Hemisphere, that's what we're now experiencing. Now, those of you who I know are connecting in from Australia have the opposite. But it's the same idea. In the wintertime, about one-tenth exposure to sun, and in the summertime, you get more full exposure. So that's why in the wintertime, for everyone who lives in the Western Hemisphere now and 6 months from now, for those of you in the opposite hemisphere, it's really essential to be able to supplement yourself with a lot of vitamin D3. And Dr. Kamenek basically is arguing that not just a little bit of D3, she even has been able to determine the potency of D3 that's critical to being able to see profound and nurturing sleep. If you get too much D3, it's too bad. It does some harm, apparently, and, of course, too little, it does great harm. So anyway, I just want to recommend that you get acquainted with Dr. Kamenek's work. She's pretty well documented on her website. She's got some great references, and I would certainly recommend that you pursue that because, after all, if we think about what underlies healing, there are really three factors, and there's always been three factors. Number one, good water intake, hydration. Number two, oxygen, in other words, being able to get the oxygen to the cells. And number three, sleep. And so at the foundation of healing for any condition, and of course here we're specifically addressing Parkinson's symptoms, it makes good sense that that's where healing from the inside out really resides. Now, the first overview that I want to give of recent developments is some new information that I've just been able to hear about people who have been using the Vialite NeuroGamma device. Vialite is spelled V-I-E-L-I-G-H-T. This is an interview that I conducted with the inventor of this new NeuroGamma device on the radio show about 6 weeks ago, Dr. Lim. Now, because I just received some updates from various sources on people's experience with using this NeuroGamma device, I've posted the new discoveries, all of them informal. These are not documented research kind of discoveries, but rather informal anecdotal reports of people's experiences, which can be very rich indeed, on the blog, Parkinson's Recovery blog. So if you visit the blog, that blog is easy to basically access if you'll just remember the main website for Parkinson's Recovery is parkinsonsrecovery.com, and there's a link to the blog there. And you'll notice that what I just updated yesterday was the new revelations from people who are using the Vialite NeuroGamma device. Some of the bottom lines of that is people clearly indicate that it's not an instant kind of a result, that it takes some time to be able to see any return from using the NeuroGamma device. This is basically a kind of a strange-looking headset, and then you also flip something right up into your nose, so the light therapy is getting basically right into the brain. And I've gotten some really encouraging reports that it apparently is helping with tremors. I don't have any specific reports on balance issues, so we don't have any updates on that per se. But tremors, a number of reports indicating that apparently it is helping mute the tremors, which is really quite wonderful news. Now, the last aspect of the Vialite therapy that really is pretty well documented now is, although the studies are very scant, is that it, to me, pretty clearly is going to help with any issues of forgetting, memory challenges, dementia, forgetting, et cetera, et cetera. So for dementia, I would really, anybody that you know that has that particular issue, I think this would be something that would be really a therapy to consider. Now, the other little twist in the Vialite gamma device, and the reason I was a bit hesitant to be very vocal about it is, that it is rather expensive. It's $1,749. The company gave my audience a 10% discount when you enter the coupon code that they gave me. So that's great. You get 10% off, but it's still in the $1,600 range. But the piece that I like and the reason why I'm not hesitant at all to tell everybody about it is that they offer a six-month trial with using their new invention, their NeuroGamma device. And if at the end of that six-month period after purchase, you feel like, or your family members feel like, it's not really providing the benefit that you had expected, you can return it for an 80% refund. Now, that's I'd never seen an offer like that from any company, so they obviously have some great confidence in the potential effectiveness of this for addressing Parkinson's symptoms. So I'm really excited about its potential, about early reports. I would encourage you to at least look at that. On the website that I just posted, I've got pretty extensive interviews with Dr. Lim, information about the device itself, some pretty extensive information, so you can look through that and see whether or not it calls out to you or not. The other advantage is that because any member of the family can use it, if you have, for example, children who are struggling with classes, with school, with college or high school or grammar school, it does help improve the mental facility. So the children can use it, grandchildren can use it, spouses can use it who might be challenged with just little problems of memory, and I think they would find some advantage there. But, of course, my main interest is in addressing Parkinson's symptoms. I want to say, as I'm trying to filter through all the information that I've been hearing, as with any therapy, I really very much doubt that this is going to be the cure all, the panacea, you know, the one thing that fixes everything. I don't think that ever would really happen. But it sounds like it is providing a benefit, and it is has been useful to a number of individuals. So I think it's really worth seriously considering as a possible therapy. And again, to cut the risk, even so, if you think of the risk as about $350, well, you can cut it even more if you're sharing the therapy with other persons. And I know some members of my audience have done just that, is that they have a small group of people who share similar symptoms, and so they're just basically all of them are using the same device. So the risk can be minimal. The potential benefit can be pretty good. And the final comment that I'm thinking about is the following. I get lots of questions from people every month who have been taking medications, and it has been very beneficial, very effective for them for many years. And yet they're at the point where the medications have had to be increased so much that their doctors are not willing to prescribe more because, you know, of the dangerous possibility of side effects that are going to cause more harm than good. So they're at the max, and then, okay, wait a minute, what happens now? The medications are really not working anymore or any longer. What's the next step? And I've been a bit stumped by being able to know anything that really can help. The CBD was or is still one possibility, but it's very expensive. And so I'm thinking this might be one potential possibility, one therapy, that particularly for people who are not getting the result from medicines that they once received, it may be that beginning to use this, you'll be able to actually see medicines working more effectively, even maybe the possibility being able to reduce the dosage of medicines in consultation with your doctor. So I don't know if that's true. We don't have any evidence from people who are at that stage who are using this particular gamma light device. So that's just a wild speculation. But if you're at that point and if you don't know of anything else that you can pursue other than, for example, a deep brain stimulation surgery, and if you're hesitant to pursue that, then this may be an option that you might want to consider. So VialLite NeuroGamma device is something that I would suggest. Take a look at, see what you think. I believe, again, that this is a possible therapy that may provide ongoing benefit. Now, the last comment, just to make everything clear, is that the inventor was very clear that if you stop using this, you're not going to continue to receive benefits. So you're going to need to think of this more as a therapy much like medicines. And so you use it and you get benefit, but if you stop using it, the benefits are going to subside. So it's not really so much a healing from the inside out, but rather a therapeutic treatment that is more temporary. But again, I'm saying that if the early reports that I receive indicate that people are seeing results, it may be that it's really worth considering. And then finally, I want to make sort of the obvious point. They've got this great offer of a return policy, you know, 6 month, 80% return. I'm pretty sure that's not going to be out there forever. If I'm right, if my speculation is right, and especially if this has a resounding benefit for people who have dementia, they're not going to need to offer that long warranty anymore. People are going to be ordering it right and left. So if that's the case, then it might be really beneficial to seize this opportunity early. Because again, I suspect that long 6 month opportunity to give it a trial run for an 80% refund if you are dissatisfied, that may not be in existence forever. So not, and I want to say not, it's not that I've heard that that's the case. But looking at it from their perspective, it may be that they see no longer benefit to do that. And of course, when they receive a device back, not that they've received any at all, but if they do receive a device back, they obviously can't resell it. So it's basically a cost to them. So that's my overview. For those of you who are new participants in our support group meeting, the tradition is just to let you know everything that I've discovered here recently that I haven't been able to get out or publicize, some of the new and upcoming guests on radio shows that have some new and exciting ideas that I want everybody to begin to think about, to consider, to contemplate. And now what I want to do is connect in with each of you who have called in or connected in and just say, what's up? And, you know, do you have any discoveries, any revelations, any reports on anything that you're experiencing that you'd like others to know about? So think of this more as, instead of a virtual support group, and of course people are connecting in from all over the world, but more as an opportunity for all of us to gather physically. So just imagine we're in the same room together, sort of sitting around in a circle, and then we're just going around the room and checking in with each person to see what's up, and are there any topics that you'd want to explore, any questions that you have of me or other folks who have connected in, and if so, then we'll make sure and ask everybody else, well, what do you think, and hear from them as well. So think of it as an opportunity, although we're meeting virtually, an opportunity to connect with each of the people who are now members of the support group and who have connected in to us today. Now, I know most of you or all of you know this, but all of these sessions are recorded. They are available for replay. I will post this on the member website later today, so you'll be able to access this replay and all of the previous replays from the previous year, if not longer. So you can hear these discussions monthly for each of the months prior to this month on the member website. And by the way, don't forget to check in with the member website every single day. We're updating the information on the various pages. You've got a meditation to listen to every day. You've got a mind challenge. You've got some interesting quotes. You've got a joke. We've got all sorts of interesting support information to nurture your journey down the road to recovery. So instead of thinking of this as just a 1 month an opportunity to join in our support group, it's really designed to be an ongoing system to provide you with the support that you need to be successful, again, on your journey down the road to recovery. So now at this point, what I would like to do is to connect in with each of you who've called in or connected to your computer and say, hi, what's up? And again, as I said in the very outset, if you're really here to listen and not talk, just let me know and we'll go on to the next person. Hello, Betsy, are you there? Robert here, and I just want to connect in to Betsy. I see you called in. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, hey. We can. Hi there.
Oh, well, I have not been paying. I've been listening with one ear, as we know we are so skilled at doing anymore, not. Because I'm trying to work at the same time. And
oh,
anyway, I feel like I'm getting somewhere, and I'm not sure where it is, because I'm doing a lot. And but at the same time, I'm not doing enough, but I can't fit it all in, and that's my mantra, is that I can't fit it all in. Well, I've decided that I have to fit it all in, and, you know, work is just going to have to take its place in line, because if I don't have my health, I can't work. And, you know, my husband's going to have to deal if I have to start working less, fewer hours anyway. So that alone, that realization alone, for somebody who doesn't like to stand up and say I should be counted, is probably useful, a useful realization. But it wouldn't go anywhere if I weren't meditating every day. That's number one. I went to the gym for the first time and did like a Stairmaster kind of thing, like aerobic activity for the first time in a long, 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 long time. I am doing a lot of internal work with a lot of different helpers. I have a therapist, two coaches, and a naturopath. And you, that is Robert, who occasionally coaches me, because I have been listening with one ear and wouldn't know where to begin to find that recommendation that I heard 6 months ago. Even if you know, it's also you lay it out for us every week, where, when, how, and find the joke. And, you know, I still haven't gone on the website and wouldn't know my password from a hole in the ground. Anyway, I'm beginning to wander, but I'm feeling better, and I do take both of those supplements. Oh, and I found one of those
functional medicine?
A functional medicine provider,
yeah. Oh, good.
Who after sort of a small extra payment, it accepts insurance. So, and they say they're not going to cure me, and which is fine, because you are. And I've been taking...
No, you are. You're the one. You are doing it, Betsy.
I've been taking pantothenic acid for years based on something somebody else gave me, who I don't go to anymore, but that sort of tells me that she was on to something. A lot of people work with me on an intuitive basis, and I've got strong intuition in return, and that is all very helpful. But I also find it helpful to listen to all y'all, so I'm going to pass. And thank you, everybody, for being here.
It does make a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for this, everybody.
I have a mantra for you, Betsy.
Another one?
Another one. Okay.
Okay.
One of the comments that you made at the outset was, I know I should be doing more, but I can only do so much, and I've got such demanding work responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the ways to turn that around as a thought form is to have the mantra, I am doing all that I need to do to nurture myself.
I am doing all that I need to do to nurture myself,
rather than sort of feeling like, well, I should be doing this and this and this and this. It's just to realize you really are making marvelous decisions, and you're doing all that you need to do. The choices that you're making are all that are necessary.
Okay, thank you. So don't let me quit my job. That's part of my nurturing.
Right. You're going to be able to do everything. And it's really a question in terms of choices of, okay, what therapies do you pursue? You're just using your gut instinct, and it's not as if you're choosing the wrong ones. You're choosing all the right ones for you.
Yeah, on the day that I choose them. And now my nose is really bleeding, so I need to go.
Okay, thank you so much
for being here and sharing.
Thank you, Betsy. Hello, Trula. Hello, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, so what's up with you today?
Not a whole lot different. Everything's pretty much the same. I did one little experiment last night, though, I would be willing to talk about it. It has to do with sound therapy. because you've been talking about sound therapy.
Right.
And I was wondering if you had any specifics, like this is a sound that exudes a gamma 40 HZ sound wave, and it's supposed to be stimulating the brain versus the alpha wave that stimulates the body, at least that's what I'm reading about. Can you say anything about that gamma wave?
Oh, it's yes, that is ideal. Now, so where are you getting that in a CD? Where are you getting that sound from?
It's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, there are several ones that are on there, but this one is the one I liked, and it's just, the title is 40HZ Gamma, and it says Pure Tone Binaural Beat. It's B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L Beat.
Okay, so you're just listening to that?
There's a graphic that comes on YouTube. You don't see anything. Nothing moves. It's just sound, and it's just this consistent wave sound, and it will play for 4 hours. And you can download it to your computer if you don't want to do it through the web.
You're not listening through headphones?
No, but I'm going to. Last night what I just did was I took my laptop and set it next to my bed and turned the laptop screen away from me so the light wouldn't wake me up.
Oh, right.
And then I just turned it on, and it was really kind of fun because it was interesting. I went right to sleep. So much easier.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That stuff can really be beneficial for facilitating sleep. So the other little detail that would be helpful for you to know is that the term binaural beats means that the frequency that comes through the right ear is slightly offset from the frequency that comes through the left ear. It was an invention back in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology that's been named for creating sound therapy is called Holosync, H-O-L-Y-N-C, Holosync.
Okay.
So the issue with binaural beats is you do have to receive the benefit of hearing from the right and the left side through earphones, through headphones.
Okay.
Just listening to the sounds at a distance means that you're not getting the benefit of that offset of frequencies. So the question is, well, what's the big deal? You know, how come that's supposed to be beneficial? And the reason is that the brain has to calculate what's going on because the frequency is a little offset.
Uh-huh.
So what you're actually doing is you're crafting new neural networks.
Hmm.
And that's very beneficial for people who experience neurological challenges.
That's interesting. Yeah. I could kind of hear the two different frequencies, but they were separate, but not coming in separate ears. But I could hear two frequencies. One was kind of a wave sound, and the other one was more consistent.
Well, when you have the headphones on, you don't really realize there's any difference because it's not offset that much. So it's not a big jarring difference in the sound, but whether that set up to be able to hear it through headphones so that you do get the difference in the right and the left, I don't know. But the 40 hertz, that's a great frequency sound to experience and benefit from. The other two sound therapy resources that you might want to explore and know a little bit more about are the CDs that Suzanne Jonas has created. She has a lot of sound CDs, and some of them specifically for Parkinson's. Are you familiar with her work?
You've talked about her before, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so she's a resource. That's a possibility. The other resource that's really interesting her name is Sherry Edwards. She's also been on the radio show. S-H-A-R-R-Y, her last name is Edwards, E-D-W-A-R-D-S, and I believe her organization is called Sound Health Options. They're in Ohio, and since you're interested in sound therapy, and I do think that's one of the medicines of the future, you can tap into Sherry Edwards' Happy Hour that she sponsors every several weeks. And oftentimes, if not every time, she offers the opportunity for people to call in. She will record your voice profile. She'll do a little analysis, and then she'll first of all tell you what's out of balance according to her analysis. And then what they do is they construct some sound therapies that are specific to meet you, the needs of your own body, and a way to listen to those therapies. And so that's another sound therapy initiative that's been going on now for a number of years. So she's getting better and better at what she's doing. So that may be something you might want to at least listen to one of her happy hours to see more about what she does.
Okay. Well, that's all for me today.
Well, thank you, Tula, and for that exciting news about what you're getting on YouTube. That sounds like that's really being beneficial. I mean, if you're going straight to sleep, wow, that's a winner.
Well, yeah, I'm going to try it with the headphones tonight, though, because I just like I said, I was just kind of toying around with it, but I want to get more serious about trying things. So.
Yeah, and the Holosync thing, they sell these sequence of CDs, and for each sequence, the spread of the frequency from the right and left ears is a little bit greater. And what Holosync does, just for your information, is because you are forging new neural networks, over time, and it does take time, you are less reactive to all sorts of situations that in the past would have really irritated you and ticked you off. So it basically is quite wonderful in the sense that instead of being irritated by little things that have always irritated you, and it may be certain sounds, it may be certain words that people say, it may be certain looks that people give you, you know, little things that don't bother other people that bother you. And everybody, of course, has those little things that bother them. What Holosync does is it enables your brain to sort of create new pathways so that when you're confronting those stimuli, you're not triggered like you were before. So it can have long-term benefits, and the reason that helps Parkinson's symptoms is that instead of all of a sudden pumping up the sympathetic nervous system, you are nurturing the parasympathetic. So that indirectly soothes the symptoms associated with Parkinson's.
Okay. Pretty interesting. All right.
Yeah, it really is. So yeah. I think sound therapy, I've said this over and over, and I think I say it every time I have a support group or some kind of a class or program. It's like, well, the future of medicine is going to be sound and light. That's where it's going, and that's where researchers are headed. So I think you're in the right place. So thanks so much for connecting in, Trula. It's wonderful to hear from you and exciting to hear the kind of things that you're discovering are making a difference.
Okay. Thank you.
And next person I want to say hi to is Larkin Palmer. I'm not sure if that's Palmer Larkin or Larkin Palmer. Hello, are you there?
Yes, that's my husband's name. That's who's on the caller ID, but this is Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Hi.
So what's up with you?
Well, I just decided to listen in and see what was going on because it's been a couple of months since I've listened. But I do have a question.
Shoot.
So I'm doing the amino acid protocol put out by Marty Hines or Hans or however you
uh-huh.
say it.
Yes, H-I-N-D.
And I'm I'm regulated through a group out of Dallas, Texas,
uh-huh.
Dr. Ross Stewart. And it's been really good for me. And I was on the traditional Parkinson meds for 7 or 8 years. I've been diagnosed for 16 years. And I started this protocol like over a year ago. And I'm really pleased with the results of it. But something that I'm finding that's interesting, does anybody else find that their symptoms lessen at nighttime? Like my body kicks in and produces its own dopamine or serotonin or whatever, all the neurotransmitters that are involved, more in the evening time than in the daytime, so I can walk better at night. I don't tremor as much at night. And it makes me want to stay up late, which isn't good. But I find that my symptoms lessen in the evening time sometimes, and it's not every day, but enough days that I notice it, and I'm wondering if you have any explanation for why that's happening.
Yes, I can think of one possible explanation, and those of you who are connecting in and listening right now, if you have feedback to that question, just press *2 on your phones, and we'll be able to connect in to Susan and give some feedback to her on your experience. So the question is, why is that the case? And, of course, some people have just the reverse. They have more problematic symptoms at night, but in your case, it's just the reverse. So everything.
It does it that way as well. I mean, there's some nights when I'm worse at night.
That's interesting.
But there's enough nights that I'm better at night, and I don't know what it is I'm doing that creates the better or the worse. That's what the frustrating thing is. The cause and effect is so hard to discern.
Right. Well, one place to look that I would recommend is the degree of stress and anxiety that you are experiencing throughout the day. And obviously that'll be different from day to day, but if you think back on, let's say, the last several days, can you think during the day of periods of the day, maybe it was only 10 minutes or 15 or maybe an hour, when you remember being a little bit more anxious than not?
I'd have to think about it. It's been Thanksgiving and busy, and I
haven't
thought about stuff like that.
Right. Well, of course, maybe because of the holidays, there wasn't a lot of issue with feeling stressed or anxiety, because that's a time when we're all kind of more laid back, which is a good thing. But the deal is this, that when we have stress, when we have anxiety, we are activating our sympathetic nervous system. That's the nervous system, the fight or flight. That's the one that helps us survive. It's critical to our well-being. And yet, it's also the system that pumps out adrenaline and cortisol. And those are the kind of hormones that override dopamine and serotonin and melatonin and those other hormones that are sort of the laid-back hormones. So when at nighttime they're not stimuli that are going to be stressful triggers, then all of a sudden your parasympathetic system is more at the front line and the sympathetic system takes back seat. And if your parasympathetic system is the one in control, then your symptoms are going to be far less problematic.
Okay, so on days when I can stay home and I have a relatively relaxing and calm day, then that would lead me probably to have less symptoms in the evening time.
Very much so. And then when you're stressed, it's a little hard to reduce that even at night. So that might be the factor that's the contributing factor. So one of the things you can work on to provide long-term relief in addition to all of your amino acid therapy is to identify those times when you're stressed and when you're anxious and do something in the moment to reduce and relieve that. And so, Susan, what I'd like to do, and anybody else that needs this, just let me know. I have this little 12-page set of four suggestions of things you can do in the moment to all of a sudden reduce stress and address the issue of anxiety so that it's no longer problematic. Little simple things you can do. Research has shown demonstrably that these little techniques work. And so if when you're stressed, if you do any one of the four, you'll reduce stress, you'll cut down on your body's production of these hormones that are triggering your Parkinson's symptoms. And I think in the long run, you'll find you'll get much better restful sleep at night. So email me, Susan, and say, reminder, please send me the handbook, and then I'll return your email with an attachment of that little 12-page booklet, okay?
All right, I will do that. Thank you very much.
And everybody else, too, listening, if you need a little booklet, just send me an email, and I will send you back that little 12-page handbook. I've been working extensively on how to help people reduce their stress and anxiety, because in the long run, that's what's feeding the symptoms. And so we looked at all the research. There's been a lot of it done. And the question is, what can people actually do in the moment to reduce their stress? And so we were able to digest four very simple things you can do in the moment. They don't cost anything. You have full control over all of these. You can do them right in the moment, and your stress level will all of a sudden be cut significantly, which means that your body all of a sudden is not pumping out all of that adrenaline, which is what obviously creates lots of issues with walking and tremors and all sorts of other Parkinson's issues. And when that happens, then all of a sudden your symptoms will all of a sudden settle down and be manageable, if not non-existent.
All right. Well, I'll pay more attention to think back on the day when I've got a calm night.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's like 9 or 10 at night. I can walk really well. I can walk quickly. I'm not tremoring. It's really a fun place to be, but I know I need to go to bed, but I want to stay up and watch.
You want to stay up. I know, and enjoy how wonderful it feels. And remember, you're healing, and so you're going to have longer periods of time when that actually happens. So celebrate the fact that your body is really coming back into balance. And for those of you that may not have heard or don't know about amino acid therapy, it is promoted by Dr. Marty Hines. Dr. Hines has agreed to be a guest on the radio show. I've been recruiting him for at least 6 years. And finally, he's agreed to be a guest on the show. But right when the week we were airing the interview, the hurricane in Florida unfortunately hit. He has a house in Florida. So it was devastated, I guess, by the hurricane. So he basically had to stop everything, cancel all of his appointments, and go down to Florida to handle that emergency. So you remind me that it would be useful to recontact him and see if we can't get him back on the air. He's had this therapy out there for a number of years, and so we'll get him on the program so that others of you that may want to pursue this will know more about it.
Yeah, and there's a doctor, the PhD doctor out of Dallas. His name is Dr. Ross Stewart. He might be somebody that you could have talk on the radio show, too.
Great idea. I can have him as well. Yeah, Dr. Hines has basically trained other professionals to administer this particular therapy. One of the reasons that Dr. Hines finally agreed to be on the radio show is I'd had a number of people who'd used it. Some of them are saying, just like you, that it had been wonderfully beneficial. Others have said, well, it didn't really help that much. And that's true for any therapy. In any therapy, we're getting those standard kind of results. And so you kind of have to figure out what's going to work for your body. But the other thing that I was telling people is, well, it's pretty expensive. You have to pay quite a bit of money to get this therapy. And what he qualified as well, it depends. It can be, but it depends on what's going on. And he wanted to be sure and clarify that on the radio show. So we'll hear from him more specifically about how it works and what the procedures are. I have had people in other countries who have wanted to receive the therapy, but when I called his office a number of years ago, they indicated that that would not be possible since you had to have these ongoing blood tests or some kind of assessments. And so I think they've improved the technology now. So we'll get more up-to-date information from that interview with Dr. Hines. And thank you so much for encouraging me to recontact him, Susan. We'll be able to get him on the show hopefully within the next couple of months.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. And thanks so much for your wonderful report on success with amino acid therapy. Hi, Bill. Are you there? Hi there. So what's up with you today?
Nothing much. What I've been trying to do over the past month is concentrate on some of the basic things that maybe get forgotten in the chasing down of the latest thing. And in my case particularly, I know I don't drink enough water. And this is like the most basic of basic, along with sleep and diet and exercise. And so really, the problem in my case is that I'm practically never thirsty. So I have to consciously kind of force myself to drink water. And so that's what I've been trying to do.
And is it working?
It's kind of working. I don't think this is so much going to reflect on Parkinson's symptoms as it will on just general state of health.
Right.
For the, you know, adequate hydration is recommended to everybody, not just people with Parkinson's symptoms.
Oh, heavens, yes. And, of course, for toxins, we're exposed every day to more toxins. If you don't, if you're not hydrated, you can't get those toxins out of your body. So it's really essential for lots of reasons. Well, Bill, I know you know about aquas. Have you experimented with those at all?
I have. And I couldn't really. This was a couple of years ago. And I might try them again because it, some of those homeopathic things I'm dubious about, but it, then, you know, if they work for reasons not easily apparent, I mean, that's the main thing, if they're effective or not. So.
Well, I know for your body and for who you are. Well, if it's been a number, several years since you've tried those, do you remember how many drops you were taking?
I think I started with 3. And I remember talking to somebody a couple of years ago when we were all at Alderbrook. There was a guy there who took as many as 7 drops.
Right.
But I think a more sensible approach would be to start somewhere in the middle. At 2 or 3 and see what happens.
Definitely start with a few drops and then increase them. So my experience with the aquas in the very beginning was that the one thing I noticed pretty quickly was the thirst mechanism was reset. And what you described was exactly what was happening to me. I never knew I was thirsty. Never. And of course,
yeah.
I never drank any water. And then what I noticed was all of a sudden when I take the aquas, I know I'm thirsty. And so I say, okay, wait a minute, I've got to get some water. And it really is feels so nurturing to just drink a whole glass of water. And then because I've been using the aquas for so long now, there are periods when I just don't take them. Maybe I'm out of supply or who knows what. And then I reintroduce them. And what I notice is the same thing happens every time. Is when I reintroduce them, then I'm reminded to drink water. So as I understand it from interviewing the inventors of this, the developers, Dr. Gerard Bublik, who's sort of the international expert on hydration, what he explains is that the whole body's mechanism to trigger thirst and to distribute water for reasons unknown tends to atrophy over time. So it just becomes less and less sensitive. And it's just a natural function of age. And so that really just has to be literally reset. And that's what this energetic kind of a thing does, this homeopathic set of essential oils and Bach flower essences. So what I notice is I start taking them again, and the thirst mechanism is triggered. Well, the other question is, do you remember, were you taking a break on taking the aquas on the weekends? So you were taking them 5 days and then a break on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I think the protocol initially was take them every day for 3 weeks and then go to that weekend off.
That's right, that's right. And you can just do that again. So it may be that you just weren't taking enough number of drops. But I guess what I'm saying is if you decide you want to experiment with that again, the one change that you should notice is that you realize you're thirsty. That was my experience. I realize I'm thirsty and I drink water. And without the aquas, that all of a sudden is not. It doesn't happen. I don't even know I'm thirsty. So that may be a benefit. Of course, the other thing that we don't really recognize as much is instead of the water basically going straight through, which is called short path hydration, which means we drink the water, it goes to our stomach, it goes to our kidneys, and it goes out without being distributed to the cells. What the homeopathic reset does is instead of going straight through, it actually then distributes the water to the cells, and then what's left goes out. And, of course, that's what really hydrates the cells in the body, and that's the one that I've not had any direct recognition of that, But I think you can tell if you monitor your skin, for example, that it's clear that your skin is better hydrated.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns I have about just pumping a lot of water into me is that it's just coming in and immediately going out. And it's not like anybody with Parkinson's needs more issues with eliminating urine, because a lot of people have issues.
Right. So it may be that you do have a what's called short path hydration issue, and maybe the aquas would help to reset that. Well, there's a couple of interviews with Dr. Jaroslav that I have on the radio show page. If you email me, I can probably find the links for you. And it should be on the member website. What am I saying this for? If you just go to the radio show page on the member websites and look down on hydration, all of those should be listed. Those interviews should be listed right there. So that'll give you some sort of fresh perspective from him. And that's his research. That's what he's done for his whole life. He's looked at hydration and water and what it is that you can do to facilitate the distribution of water as it needs to be distributed.
Right. I'll listen to that one again. I know I saved that one on my hard drive on my computer. So.
Right. It's a wonderful interview. He's just so gifted in terms of understanding what that's all about. And the original development of the aquas were formulated by him and Leonie Hibbert in Australia. And the actual origins of that didn't have to do directly with Parkinson's. He was a marathon runner. And basically what he said was that he got to the point where he couldn't even finish a marathon because he was so dehydrated, which made him very frustrated. And so he began to collaborate with Leonie Hibbert, and they decided that there must be a way to facilitate the body's ability to distribute water. And so they experimented. Finally, they developed these aquas. And so when he started taking those, he was successfully able to run the whole marathon without any problem at all. So that was his own experience. And then John Coleman found out about him, and he started to take them for his own Parkinson's symptoms. And he all of a sudden reported that it made a huge difference to him. So that was sort of the birth of the development of spreading the word that this is a homeopathic remedy that seems to facilitate the hydration in the body like really no other product has.
Do you think starting with 3 drops would be sensible, 3 in the morning and 3 at night?
Well, you know, there's sort of a standard recommendation when people ask me, and I basically usually say, and this is what John recommends, so I just mirror what he says, start with 1 drop. In the morning and 1 drop in the evening. So first thing in the morning, you get up and you put 1 drop, and you can add a little juice. Apple juice is what they recommend. And then just before bedtime, 1 drop of the evening, and then do that for a couple of days. And if you don't feel any effects of detoxing, which are, of course, those mild headaches and loss of energy, and, you know, when you're detoxing, you don't feel as good, then up it to 2 drops. And see what happens there for a couple of days. And again, if you're still good to go, then go to 3 drops. And if still good to go, go to 4. And then you'll get to the point where you're taking so many drops, you know, you'll be one day where maybe it's you're taking 5 drops and you feel more tired than usual. Uh-oh, you're detoxing too quickly. So drop back. You've just discovered that 4 drops is what you need. So
okay.
It may be that if you didn't remember that the thirst mechanism was all of a sudden in play again when you were taking them, it's possible that you just needed to up the number of drops you were using.
Okay. It's hard to assess. I mean, I think we all have good days and bad days anyway. So.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. So be cautious. Less is better than more. You might want to just start low and go little by little, maybe give it more time to see how it unfolds. And it's not that it's a bad thing to feel bad. You're still detoxing. You just don't want to feel bad. You want the detoxing to happen slower. So sometimes instead of having a strong trigger, you just need to have a mild trigger.
Right. Okay. Can we still order those through your website?
Yeah. The website is Aquas for Life, A-Q-U-A-S, the number 4, and then life, LIFE.com. Aquas, AQUAS, the number 4, life, LIFE.com. You can indeed.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. That's helpful.
Thank you, Bill. It's wonderful to connect with you and to hear you here this month. So I've now got, I don't have a name, Thousand Oaks, California, but I'm not sure who it is. Hello? Or maybe it's Kanayo, California. That's also the city and state in California. Hello, are you there? I don't have a name, so I'm not sure who you are. Got the line open? Robert,
is it Kanayo Valley?
Oh, hi. Yes, Kanayo Valley. It. Well, it says Kanayo,
okay.
California, so it must be you.
That's
so,
a valley, yeah. It's Thousand, California. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for the work that you do. It's really, really good work, and I really appreciate it. And the only comment I have is that I live about an hour and a half from the chiropractor that you interviewed that had the light therapy in his office, and I've attempted over 10 times to make an appointment, and they never answer their telephone.
Really?
And they won't return calls. I'm excited about the light therapy like you are. I do have the Verilight, the one that goes in the nose, which is different. It's smaller. And
right.
I've been using that. And I want to go to the chiropractor. So I just thought I'd mention that, but I continue to try to get an appointment with them, and I just can't. They apparently are very, very busy, you know, and so that's been difficult.
Oh, that is disappointing. I think he said when I interviewed him, Gare is his name, that their appointments were 6 months out or something to that effect, and that they were pretty full.
Well,
but there have to be other practitioners would be near you. You might want to call the Airconia company. That's the one that makes the devices that these chiropractors use, and see if they have another recommendation of somebody near you.
That's a good idea. That's what I'll do. I'll
just
give that a try.
Because they have people who have been trained. They have a list of people who have been trained. And they might say, well, if they're too full, then try this person. And so maybe that's the best thing to do. I mean, if they're not going to answer their phone, it must be they're so full, there's no chance of getting in. And so are you using the Via-Light Gamma device or the one that just goes in the nose, not the head?
Yeah, just the one that goes in the nose. I've had it for, you know, a year or more, and I used it for a few weeks and then stopped using it. You know how we human beings are. And I didn't use it until I heard your report on it. Now I'm back using it again.
Oh, good.
And, and I won't stop this time. This time I will continue to use it. And I would like to try the big one, you know, that costs all kinds of money that we're talking about.
The one that that has all the head thing, that was just invented recently, and they've gotten some pretty good early reports on that. So that might be something you consider. Yeah, the downside is it's like $1,600. The upside, like I was saying, is you got 6 months to see if it's going to help or not, and so the risk is minimal given the opportunity to see if it's going to work or not.
Also, the other guy, the chiropractor was working with a group that had an $11,000 device. You remember that one? That was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the chiropractor. That's his. Yeah, that's right. That device, the Airconia company that I was suggesting you call to get a reference of a person to go see other than Dr. Gare, their devices are expensive. It's $11,000. I mean, they gave a discount to Parkinson's recovery members of 10%, but still, I mean, $10,000 is a lot of money to pay. And the other issue with that device is that it's got like 10 settings. There are different ways to use it. It's focused light, not diffuse light. And so it's a little more involved than what the Via-Light is, which is pretty simple. It's pretty direct. It's really expensive. And I don't really think they're making those for home use. I think they're making them to sell to people who are medical professionals like chiropractors.
Yeah, they are expensive. Well, I appreciate your work, and thank you very much. I'll continue pressing on.
Well, sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in. It's great to hear from you. So we got Karen Taylor from Tennessee. Hello, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I had a little detour. I fell and broke my shoulder So I'm recouping from that. So I'm just getting back on the road.
Did you have to have surgery?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes, I had to have a plate put in.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So it's been some challenging moments here, sleeping on my back, which I'm not a back sleep.
Yeah.
But my question I had for you is, I live in the eastern United States, and wintertime is very cloudy. And I've been reading different things about light therapy, but I'm kind of confused of what type of light I should be getting. Should I be getting a blue light or a white light?
Oh, goodness. Basically, what your body needs is a vitamin D3. And when you're in the sunshine, that's what your body is making naturally. You don't have to take a supplement. But I know that if in the gloomy months of winter, a vitamin D3 supplement is essential. Are you taking anything like that?
Yes, I'm taking some.
And it may be
a liquid type thing.
Uh-huh.
A liquid.
There's a kind of apparently a fascinating whole story behind the choices of getting vitamin D3 that I learned from Dr. Gominek's interview a few weeks ago. There are apparently many, many different forms of vitamin D3, so it's kind of a quagmire out there as to which one to pursue. What I learned from her is the level of D3 in the bodies of most people with Parkinson's symptoms is very, very, very low, way too low. And so for most people, it really is most useful to boost up the level of D3. In other words, take more than you think you should have. And, of course, how much? I'm not a medical doctor, and I would have no way of being able to know what to suggest in terms of a dose. But you might want to consider increasing that. But your question specifically was what type of light. And
A girlfriend of mine was talking about, you know, those lights you put on your desk that
yep.
shine in your face.
Yeah, I think
she
those
said
can
I need
help.
To,
I think
she
those
said
can be,
you need to get one of those.
Oh, did she? I think those can be helpful. I know a lot of people in Washington, which is pretty gloomy for a lot of the year, have those kind of lights, and they just set them up
but
where they work.
Right, but there's two kinds. There's a blue light and a white light.
So if
so
you check in,
sure which
one is right?
Sure
so if you check
better.
In with your, if you check in with your own instincts for your own body, which of the two do you think your body is calling out for your body to receive, blue or white?
I was thinking more white.
Me too.
Because they talk about blue on for your computer screen and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's my sense too, is white, it seems to me, would be the best. And I've for people who use it here in Washington, they all have white lights, not blue. So
okay.
You definitely, that would be very beneficial. And then boosting up the D3 supplement would probably be also beneficial. Did you hear my preliminary report on Dr. Gominek?
Yeah, but I didn't get her name or her last name. Could you spell it to me again?
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course. She has a website, and it's Dr. and then it's the spelling of her last name, Gominek. Gominek.com. And she has some references that you can just look at of things that she has written. And she has some very specific ideas about how much vitamin D the body needs. And so there's
okay.
a range. She basically says 60 to 80 and some kind of a dosage indicator that didn't mean much to me. So when you get a vitamin D3 check as to how much is in your body, it'll give you a number. And she said most people with Parkinson's, they're less than 15, but you need to be up to 60. And then she also says that you can get too much, so over 80 is too much. I read all that in the articles that she wrote. So So you might want to.
But you're saying that there's. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you were talking about that there's different kinds of D3.
Yeah, it's kind of a messy situation, apparently. Different supplements, they have different ways of producing vitamin D3 in the body, according to Dr. Gominick. And I'm not sure anybody really is clear about what's really going on, quite frankly. She said she's gone to D3 conferences, and she thinks even the experts don't even know what's going on. So I don't have any clear recommendation of a type of D3 that's the best. I don't think she does either. But I just wanted to alert you to the fact that one D3 is not the same as another D3. But you can get, in the medical test, you can get assessments of the level of D3 in your body, and that's the key, no matter how you're getting it, through sunshine or through some kind of supplement. And that's what really is also a key to sleep, nurturing good sleep, sound sleep, that also heals the body.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, thanks so much for calling in and joining us at our group today.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's an honor and a privilege. And we have one more person who I see from North Carolina. Financia, is that you? Hello? From, I believe, Dunn, North Carolina, I'm seeing on the control panel. So just want to connect in, open up the line, and say hello. Are you there? Now, I'm not sure who is here. Last name is Butler. Hello?
Oh, it's me. I'm just listening.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Well, thanks so much. It's nice to have you. Thanks so much for connecting in. It's great to have you here. I hope you find enormous benefit from connecting in to the member websites each and every day. So I want to now look in. We've connected with everyone who called in. I want to connect in to the questions that may have been submitted. And we have one question. And the question is this. Sip water all day rather than drink a full glass several times a day. And then it says, why not? Well, I guess that's a question that we really ought to pursue with the experts, the hydration experts. I have to say, I've never even thought about that as an issue, the issue of sipping versus drinking a lot of water throughout the day. You are, in this question, saying rather than drink a full glass several times a day. From what I know about hydration, a full glass several times may not be enough. And if a several only means two times, that may not be enough water. And so it's possible that if you're just sipping a little bit, you're not really getting enough water throughout the day. But if you're drinking a full glass, then at least you can have some sense of how much water you're intaking into your body. We need quite a bit of hydration every single day. And I know there's all sorts of recommendations of how much, but certainly four or five full glasses ought to be minimum for most people. And again, I don't know the specific answer to that. I can do a little research, and maybe during our next meeting I can provide some insight. I don't know why there would be a disadvantage to drinking water at any time of the day, no matter how much. So to see the statement that it's better to have a full glass that you're drinking rather than small sips, I've never really seen that before. All I've known to say and recommend from the interviews that I've done is, well, the more water that you drink, the better, no matter how much or when. I do know that there are some recommendations that when you are eating, it's better not to drink a lot of water. I don't buy that. I drink lots of water. So I think the one thing that I always say to people is I think all of our bodies are different. We have different needs. We are unique individuals, and so we really have to check in to see what it is that our body needs. It's not really that important what somebody else's body needs. So we're very different living creatures, and you might in terms of trying to figure out what your own body needs. The other kind of idea that I've used throughout my life here in the last 10 years that has been really helpful is, if I have a question, is it better, you know, to drink just a small group sip of water or a full glass? You can take two glasses and you can hold one of them with just a sip and muscle test it. And there are various ways of muscle testing just that question. And you ask the question, okay, I've got a choice. And the choice is, should I sip this small glass of water right now or should I drink this full glass? And your body will be strong in the answer. And chances are, for the full glass, your body will say, drink the full glass, not just the sip. So it may be that if you're sipping, you'll have an immediate quenching of thirst. And so the thirst mechanism is no longer active, but you're not getting all the water that you really need. So I guess the one summary comment that I've made, I can make after just on the spur of the moment providing some comments in response to your question is, that I do know that the more water, the better, and the more that that water is being distributed to the cells, the better. You can't go wrong with either one. Let me go back, and I'm just going to check on the main page of our support group meeting to make sure nobody else has called in. Looks like we've now connected with each person who's had an opportunity to call in. So I think I can say that we've now concluded our connections with each and every person who's been a part of our support group. I just want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of Parkinson's Recovery Support. Your experiences, your comments about what's helping and what's not helping have a profound influence on my own thinking about what is helping others. And so I thank you for making your own contributions to my ability to provide support to others on the journey down the road to recovery. Thank you so much for connecting in today. We'll, of course, reconvene in December, the last Monday of December at 12 noon Pacific time, and provide you with updates on everything that's happening here through Parkinson's Recovery on our interviews, whether they are aired on the radio show, personal interviews, ideas that I'm getting from other people, feedback on some of these new therapies. And so we'll update you at the end of next month. Please do connect in with the member websites, and it can be just a connection of 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and I think you'll find you'll get a refreshing surge of positive energy that will help you get through each and every day. That's the real purpose of the membership, is to infuse your energy with a gust of enthusiasm, so that you are reminded that there are many ways that people are finding that are helping them heal from the inside out and to fully and completely recover and to reclaim their lives back. And this is Robert Rogers, founder of Parkinson's Recovery in 2004. The main website is parkinsonsrecovery.com. It's a pleasure and honor to be able to facilitate and host these monthly support group meetings for all of you who have connected in to become members of Parkinson's Recovery. Thank you so much for your support, your interest, and your enthusiasm. And that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all of the women are smart and all of the men are handsome, and most importantly, all of the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are connected in as a Parkinson's Recovery member, that you are listening to this particular support group meeting in November, that you, along with others who are members, are indeed are on the road to recovery. Congratulations to you. May you have a wonderful celebration of the upcoming holidays.